Welcome back to the Big Move Podcast. I'm your host, Em. I'm a content creator, podcast producer, and a mother. And as I thought about a new season of the podcast, I went back to my roots and what made me start this show to begin with. At its core, it's this idea of connection, relatability, and motivating each other through the impactful conversations we're having as women. I'll be talking to the same powerhouse caliber of female guests that I know are going to light you up, but we're getting real on how they've redefined themselves in entirely new seasons and phases of life. We're honing in on what fuels us, what brings us back to ourselves, and ultimately, what keeps us moving. So with that, let's get into new episodes. Before we get into today's episode, here's a quick word from our sponsor, WeNeedle. No matter where you may be in your fertility journey, trying to conceive, in pregnancy, or support in postpartum, WeNeedle is one of the first to the market that provides comprehensive, clean, and effective prenatal supplements that support both women and men on their journey to parenthood. WeNeedle is science-obsessed and backed by industry-leading functional medicine doctors, nutritionists, and fertility experts, including Dr. Mark Hyman and Kelly Levesque. Their products are formulated specifically for pre, during, and postnatal needs, so this can serve as your multivitamin beyond the baby years. Although I may be well into the toddler years, I've always found it confusing to understand which supplements I should be taking at this stage. So now I'm taking WeNeedle for her daily, and bonus, I'm also taking their rest and digest magnesium. I feel like the magnesium is setting me up for a much more restful evening and night sleep, making me a better mom 10 times over. Use my link at weneedle.com/thebigmove for a free month supply of WeNeedle's magnesium worth $35 with your first subscription. And look out for an upcoming episode with their founders, Vita and Ronit, to hear their incredible founder story. Janelle, hi, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Emily. Great to be here.
We're so excited to have you on. You are such a powerhouse from the C-suite level work that you do to, I would call you a mastermind of a content creator now. So we're very, very excited to just kind of cover it all with you and dig in and learn from you.
Let's do this. I'm excited.
Amazing. So for those that might not already know you or follow you on social, could you give us just a quick, brief backdrop on who you are, what you're all about?
Sure. My name is Janelle Tavis. My day job is running a global stroller brand, Bugaboo, where I'm the chief commercial officer. I look after the North America business. And on the side, I also create content, helping ambitious professionals, whether it's with self-development, career advice, or family life. I'm also a mom of two here in New York City.
So Janelle, what I love to do is kind of set the stage. I ask all of my guests this question is, what is your big move? Has there been like a pivotal turning point or something in your life that you feel like has really shaped your journey?
One thing that I think about when I reflect on my career journey is that there's not one pivotal move. There's certainly jobs which have changed the trajectory of my career, amazing projects that I've had the opportunity to work on. But I am a really big believer in the 1% gain. And so I think that I am where I am today because of the accumulation of all these small decisions that I've made. And a lot of them are unseen. And I try to remind people of that when they see the highlights on social media. And that's also what I try and share. I try and pull back the curtain a little bit to a lot of that unseen work that goes behind building a career, the type of career that I've had, and family life and my role as a mom. It's certainly all very fulfilling, but also very challenging. But I think the accumulation of big and very small decisions that I've made along the way.
Yeah, I love that. You're so strategic in everything that you do. I know you share that across content. So I can't wait to dig into that, especially from just like the self-care standpoint for busy working moms. I feel like it all kind of adds up to the big picture. So I think that's so fascinating and a really cool kind of purview. I guess to sort of set the stage, getting into motherhood, all of the work that you do at the C-suite level, when you think about your career and maybe your embarkment into motherhood and starting a family, how are you navigating that in your mind in terms of like the implications it would have on your career trajectory? How are you sort of framing that in your mind?
So this may be controversial to say, but I did not think about the impact to my career when I had my first child. I was at a point in my life where I knew that I was ready to grow my family. And I think that jobs are temporary, but family is forever. So we decided that we wanted to try to start to grow our family. And I'm fortunate that it happened when it happened. And to be quite frank with you, when she came, it was the most clarifying moment of my life. I became hyper-focused on what I think is actually our greatest asset, which is time. And I wanted to work. I wanted to go back to work. I find that that aspect of my life is really fulfilling to me, as well as being a parent. And so for me, motherhood, parenthood only accelerated my career. It only made me laser focus. It certainly made me really clear that my hours are finite. So I had to be really effective in the time that I was at work and tried my very best to make the hours at home as high quality as I could. And I do my best every day. And that's what I try and share.
Yeah, I actually love your answer because oftentimes I ask my guests these questions and I have to kind of turn it around on myself and ask myself that too. And part of me felt the same, that I didn't really think about what that would look like, but almost like you will build it in, right? Like you'll kind of make it all work alongside motherhood, creating a family. And it sounds like that's sort of the way that you thought about it.
I've had this discussion with my friends as well who were thinking about having a child, and there will always be a big shiny project. There will always be an opportunity. There will always be a promotion on the horizon. You won't always be in the exact same moment in time and set of circumstances that you are in life to have a family. So for me, it was, well, now is a good time as ever. And I also talk with followers sometimes. They're like, oh my gosh, I found this dream job and I am in the middle of the interview process. And I also just found out that I'm pregnant. What do I do? And it's like, go for the job. And then at the right time, disclose that you're pregnant, and their response to you will also give you a very clear indication if that's a place that you want to be or not. You might as well figure that out now versus when the baby arrives and then you realize actually this is not a place that's supportive to parents, and then you learn a different kind of lesson very early on. But there will always be something on the horizon, and again, this is what has worked for me. I believe that family's forever, and jobs are temporary.
So Janelle, backtracking a little bit, thinking about your postpartum self and your experience in navigating kind of who you were after your first child, was there something, work or personal, that you felt maybe like the least prepared for, or like a biggest challenge that came up for you personally?
So when I had my first child, I stayed home for a year. And that's a decision that I made. I should also share about that. But I was two things. I had her in Europe, which I think has a different societal acceptance when it comes to how you transition back into work after having a child. Here in America, it's usually within weeks, which is, I think, quite hard. But I was in the Netherlands. And so through the combination of federal mat leave, which I had, and the company mat leave that I was given, and PTO that I had saved, and then also unpaid time that we were able to do, if you put that all together, it created a 1-year timeline. So when I came back into the office, it had been 12 months by the last time I was in any professional setting. And I think the most surprising thing to me was I thought I would feel a giant void and hole being physically away from her. And yes, that was true to some extent. I was also really excited and happy to be back in a very stimulating work environment and get to work on projects and get to socialize with my colleagues. And one of the things I say is two things can be true at the same time. So I did miss her. I also knew that socializing her at 1 year was actually really good for her. And the place that we ended up placing her, they were so good with communication. They would send photos all day long. So I felt like, okay, she's doing really well. And I really, really enjoyed being back at work. And I think that that's okay too, to share about the fulfillment and the joy that your professional life brings you is very different for me than it is being a mom. And what I feel like can sort of tend to be the perception or the way that we talk about things is that it's negative, but for me, it was very positive. And then when we reunited at the end of the day, I got to tell her about my day and I was really happy. And I think ultimately that's what children need, are really happy, fulfilled parents. So for me, that was the biggest surprise. Like, wow, I actually really enjoy being back at work. This feels great.
I love that. And it sounds like it just really kind of brought you back to yourself, right? It brings you back to the core of your identity, what lights you up, what kind of keeps you moving and excited and happy. And it sounds like for you, that really is work and career.
Yeah, there's so many different ways to be a parent, and it is really specific to your family, to the individual, to the parent, to the child. And so for us, this is what had made the most sense. And it was good for her. It was really good for me. And it was good for us as a family. I had thought about staying home, really, in that year long. I had thought, okay, what would it look like? And some women do make that decision. And that's the best decision for them. It's the best decision for their family. For me, the right thing to do was to go back to work. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do want to touch on the guilt piece for just a second. I know so many moms can relate to this and going back to work and in ramping up their career again, whatever stage that they're at. Like, how are you kind of navigating those moments where you are feeling a little bit of that guilt?
So both of my parents were working parents. My mother was an entrepreneur. She had her own business. My father worked in the newspaper industry. He had full-time job. And both my parents were busy. They were busy. They were working. And I felt very loved. I felt loved. They weren't at everything. They couldn't be. They weren't at every swim meet or every basketball game or all of the extracurriculars that I did. But I felt so loved and I felt nurtured and I felt that they were interested in my life and they were always aware of what I was doing. And so anytime I really do feel that sense of longing, or I think guilt is such a heavy and a very loaded word. So sadness when I am on my way to JFK and I know that I'm going to be missing something during the week, I remind myself, ultimately, I'm showing my children that I have ambitions, I have goals, I have responsibilities, I have accountability, and I'm going to go do this thing. Now, I make sure that the thing that I am going to do is crystal clear in my mind. I'm not going to travel without a plan. So I know what the purpose is. I'm literally writing down on the airplane, these are the three things that I want to get done on the trip. It's either aligning on a project, it's gaining insight, it's bringing my team together. And so it's time not wasted when I'm away. And then when I come back, one very tactical thing that I try and do is do what I call special time with my kids. And I've been doing this since they were very, very young. And we just name it. And we call it special time. And I'll do one-on-one time with one of my kids. Or I'll take both kids and my husband will have some space and some time off. And it's really simple. It's stuff that I would do anyways. We go for breakfast and we bring a coloring book and pencils. And I think just by naming it and saying, we're going to do some one-on-one time and tell me about your week and what did you do? And I get the question often, aren't you tired? Yes, of course I'm tired. Of course. And of course I would rather just be at home and not out and about. But I know that putting that time in that fills me up. And they know, and we look forward to that. And, you know, someday when they're grown up and they're away, I hope that they look back to all of these mornings and they remember me coming home from my trips with a lot of fondness, because we would make it a big thing when I come back home.
Yeah, I love that. And I feel like I noticed that a lot in your post, this mantra of sort of don't count the hours, but make the hours count, right? And just making that limited time that you might have at this juncture in your life, in this season of your career, you know, you're jamming it in and you're enjoying each other and you're kind of just fitting it all in when you can.
Yes. And that's one of the things that one of my very first mentors told me, and this was before I was even a parent. And I had always sort of admired, she has three children and how she moved in the workplace. And I would watch her. And I'm very aware that there are women now watching me move about my career and move about my life, also with two children. And how do I do it? And when I became a mom and I came back into work, and I remember having coffee with her, and I was like, I only get 1 hour with her in the morning, and then I'm at work, and then I get like 1 hour with her at night. And she was like, you cannot count the hours. You will always lose. And so you can make that hour extremely special, and you can make that last hour extremely special. And so for me now, fast forward, my children are both now school aged. I make them very high quality. That's why I'm posting what kind of breakfast I make, you know, when I'm on the subway and on the way to work. It's because for me, making them a nourishing breakfast and talking to them about their day and having a conversation, that is how I send them into the day. And then when we have dinner at night, it is phones away. We're sitting around the table every night having family dinner, a dinner that I make because that makes me happy cooking. I like to cook and making that as high quality as possible. Now, this doesn't mean it's smooth and no arguments and that my kids are eating all their vegetables. Absolutely not. But I'm just present. I'm locked in. And so I just try and make my morning routine and my evening routine at home with my kids are very important to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to touch on the work trip, digging into that, lifting the curtain a little bit. I know you travel a lot for work. You're also creating content. You're doing all the things. Can you talk to us a little bit? What does coming back from the work trip look like? Because I feel like there's a lot to unpack there, right? It's like, how are you recharging both as a mom? So you're picking back that time up with your children. You want to be there for them, but also personally, you're exhausted, you're drained. I'm curious just like what that looks like for you and your household.
So when I'm coming home, I'm literally flying in flight. I'm hopefully checking off those things that I had written down in the flight on the way to the work trip. And I can say, yes, this went well, or maybe some instances it didn't go according to plan. And that's also okay. What did I learn from this? So I am doing some reflecting on how it went. I also am a big believer of the follow-up and the follow-through. So is there anything that, any notes that I wanted to make about a meeting that I had, or I'm really just kind of tying up the business pieces so that when I land, I've put that away. I've put that notebook away. I've put my laptop away until that Sunday evening if I'm coming home, you know, on a Friday. So I really try and use that plane time to wrap up. I never watch anything in the airplane. So people are like, what's your plan airplane video? I don't have one because I don't watch movies. It's just, I just use that time differently. So I'm usually wrapping up. And then when I land, I am excited. I'm excited to see my family. I'm excited to sleep in my own bed. I'm excited for my skincare routine at home. I'm excited to eat food that's not from a restaurant. And I will say I have to credit my husband, who's my partner in so many different ways, but he's also aware that I'm not on a fun girls trip. I am working. So there have been times where I come home and he says, hey, I'm going to take the kids out for like an hour or even 2 hours and just rest. And so we have come to understand what each other needs. There was a moment in our co-parenting journey where I have asked him to do that. Like, can you please take them out? And now he will say, hey, I know you got in late. I'm going to take the kids out, or vice versa. If I know that it's been a little bit challenging for him because whatever he's had to deal with, then I will just find the energy to push through and just say, I'm going to take them out. It's only an hour, but even that hour can be restorative, especially for the other parent who's been doing double time. So I will say we're good about picking up the pieces with each other. I also am really conscious to not book myself socially. So I'm not coming home and going out for dinner with girlfriends or like committing myself to an event, to a brand event. I won't do that. I'll really just make sure I'm at home. I need to rest. I need to be physically with my family. That does mean that I miss out on some things. But to be honest, Emily, if I were to go to that thing, then I wouldn't feel great about it because it's not really where I want to be. So I decide not to do that.
Yeah, I feel that. It's like, I feel like when we become moms, we have to get so good at sort of, and I guess that's my next question, is like sort of filtering through some of those, right? Whether it's in a work-related invite, an invite for a brand that you really want to get to know or something like that in the content world. Like, are there filters that you sort of go through in your head and it's an easy like, yes, check, I want to go, or no? Or is it like if it's a maybe, then it's a no?
Yes. The short answer is yes. You have to make choices. And when I make a decision to do one thing, I'm saying no to another thing. And so what is my filter? My filter is always, I try and think, okay, where do I actually want to be? And even if it's a really amazing brand, what needs me more? Is there another way that I can continue to build that relationship with the brand? So I'll give you an example. There was a great dinner invitation that I was invited to. I try to only go to one evening commitment a week. So if that is going out with my girlfriend, then I need to make sure that I don't have a work dinner that week or I don't have a brand invitation that week, because I will very rarely do, I don't want to be out multiple nights during the week. One, I don't have the energy to go out every night. And then two, I just don't want to miss putting my kids to bed every night. So that's sort of just like a, I don't want to say it's a hard and fast rule, but it's one of my principles that I try to uphold. So there was an amazing dinner that I really wanted to go to. Also, the founder and the CEO was going to be there. It was a brand that I love and use anyways. And I just couldn't do it. I already had enough going on during my day and then also at night. And so I said, I'm sorry, regretfully, I can't make this, but I would love to do coffee. I would, if there's an opportunity to have coffee with you. And there was. And so we were able to, and that was even actually better because then I was able to build a one-to-one opposed to when you're at an event and there's multiple people trying to talk to each other, then it tends to be a little bit more distracted. So, and there's sometimes where that doesn't work out, but there's always another way, I think. And if it's really a once in a lifetime, I'm being dramatic, but like once in a blue moon type of thing, of course I will go, and then I'll need to make sure that my family's okay, or at least my kids understand and, hey, I'm going to this thing. And instead we have this other thing to look forward to. So I try my best to manage how often I'm away. And if I'm away, that it really matters to me and I really want to go.
That makes so much sense. And like on the content front, you have just blossomed into this like absolutely strategic and phenomenal content creator on top of everything else that you do. So I know you're really strategic about how you're sort of managing and scheduling this. So I'm kind of curious to dig into that a little bit. I guess first and foremost, like the mental load, do you feel like you're always on, or how are you sort of managing that from that higher viewpoint?
No, I don't feel like I'm always on. There's a lot. I do create content, but I go deep in a few different areas, but I'm not broad. So you won't see my kids on social media. You very rarely will see my husband. And that's for the privacy of my family, just for example. But I could talk all day long on systems and my morning routine and the career advice that I've gathered and mentorship and networking and presentation success and how to grow your personal brand. But I try and keep my personal life quite private. I do share, because I'm a human being and not a robot, what's going on in my life, my brother, my parents, you know, certain areas. But for me, that's what works really well. I go deep in very select areas and not broad. There are some creators that are true lifestyle creators and you know so much about their entire life. And I follow a lot of them. I really enjoy it. It's just not how I create content. So I don't feel like I'm always on. I actually film, I want to say maybe only twice a week. And I film Always Work Tip Wednesday, which is something that it's a series that I've created. And that also helps me as a creator. I'm not trying to think up things out of nowhere. I know on Wednesdays, I create Work Tip Wednesday, which is a tip that I have learned in career leadership, working for some of the world's biggest brands. And then on Sunday, I do my Sunday report, which is just a roundup of what I'm seeing, loving, recommending, listening to, using. That's pretty easy because it is really, I just go through, okay, I live in New York City, so there's always something going on and around that I can recommend. So Wednesdays and Sundays are sorted. And then Mondays, I tend to do, let me go in order of the week. So Mondays, I do usually something a little bit more business oriented because I feel like people are in the mindset of work. Wednesdays is Work Tip Wednesday. Friday is pretty fun. It's pretty fun content. And maybe it's a day in the life. So a day that I'm going through and I just will very quickly film little snippets and then I'll record a voiceover over it. And then on Sundays, we talked about my Sunday report. So I'm really only filming a couple times. I also don't really want to be that person at the table that's like with my phone and everything. So I try and be really present with the people I'm with. But no, I don't consider myself a lifestyle creator. Yeah. So you're not going to see my entire life.
Yeah. No, that makes so much sense. And there's a couple of things I'd love to hone in on. Seeing the volume of content that you put out, it's so cool to hear that you actually only film content twice a week. I think that's what's so cool about having these conversations because I would have never guessed that. And then I think secondly, it sounds like the lens, the strategic lens that you're creating content around is allowing you to not always have to be on. Like you're really able to funnel it in that way. So I think that's really interesting to think about too.
Yeah. And I also want to say now I'm in this position. So I started creating content. It was my 2023 New Year's resolution. So I really wanted to go from consuming content to creating content. I did it myself for, I want to say 18 months. And then I started bringing in people around me. So I have an assistant. I have an editor. I now work with a manager who helps with the administration when it comes to talking with brands. So what does that mean that I'm doing? Well, I'm doing more things, but my efforts are multiplied because I have people around me that are doing the things that are not my superpowers and super strengths. And I think that that's also really important. I really believe in team. So I have a small team around me, when I do my personal content stuff. And then I have an amazing team for my day job that are strong in areas that I'm not. So I'm doing more things, but I'm not spending more time. And that took a long time for me to realize and to build. And by the way, I'm still building it. There's still a lot that I do, but it also really fulfills me, makes me happier. And the last thing that I'll say is that creating content and understanding the creator ecosystem and how social media moves, ask anyone on the business side or on the brand side. And as they're talking about marketing budgets and how to spend and how to activate a product, influencer marketing, social media is always one of like the top three things that a brand wants to do. I understand that space so intimately now that it's like, okay, here's where we should spend. Here's where we shouldn't. Here's the timeline in which I think that we should execute. So it's given me a front row seat to actually a big part of any brand strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. You have like that inside look and then you can see it on that larger level too. So something I'd love to dig into with you and a huge premise of this show is motivating each other as women. I think it's so fascinating and especially to see you working at the C-suite and now as a content creator, so many balls in the air. Day to day, like how are you staying motivated? Are there routines? Like what are you doing to kind of keep yourself moving day to day?
Oh my gosh, Emily, if you looked at the journal that's next to my bed, you would see that it is just full of affirmations that I write myself first thing in the morning, because I really do believe in the power of words. And I tell my children this all the time, the words that you speak to yourself really matter. And so even I just came out of a pretty intense week and it was really hard. It was a hard week. And you know this because we were originally supposed to have this conversation one day and then we moved it to today. So I came out of a really intense week and every morning I do the same ritual, whether I feel great or like last week, I didn't feel good. And it's a 3-3-3 exercise that I talk about. And it's really simple, but I feel like emptying my brain of any residual clutter that may be still like bouncing around through the night. I try and put it down on a piece of paper and it helps me move through my day with intention and a little bit of momentum versus just like hopping out of bed, like rolling to the kitchen, maybe looking at my phone and making a coffee. That's just not good for me. So I spend 5 to 10 minutes doing this 3-3-3 exercise. The first thing that I do is write down three wins from the day before. So it's big things and small things that I felt worked really well. It could be a task that I checked off. It could be something that happened with one of my children. It could be that I made time for a coffee with a friend in between meetings. The second three that I do is three gratitudes. So what are the three things I'm thankful for? And sometimes they're very repetitive. They could be big things like the health of my parents, how my children are thriving in school. It could be a funny thing that my brother sent me. But three things that I'm grateful for, and I'm really specific about those three things. And then the last three are the three things that I need to get done that day. And I get this question often, but like, do you have more than three? Of course, I have like 18 things that I need to get done. But the three things are the things that I need to get them done. These are time sensitive. These are urgent. These relate to my bigger 3-5 year direction that I'm trying to move. So those are my three things. And then sometimes if I don't have any motivation, I write down affirmations. So one thing that I really like is by Gabby Bernstein, and it is everything is happening around me and I am truly supported. Another one that I write down is the universe is conspiring in my favor. Why do I do that? It is only additive to your brain if you speak those things, and your brain will begin to believe them. So that's how I begin every morning. And if I don't have any motivation, that's how I create motivation for myself. But I talk about this 333 often because it does help me.
Yeah, I love that. And also from a productivity standpoint, so you're kind of like killing two birds with one stone. And I guess to kind of double click on the hard week, because one of my questions is, right, like we all have days and weeks where we're just not feeling it, man. Like I know I'm feeling that big time in motherhood. My kids are 5 and 3. Like I'm still in kind of that thick of it, right? And so in those hard moments, those hard weeks, you're coming off of one of those yourself. What do you do to pull yourself out? Is there one thing? Is there a moment? Are you moving your body? What is your like go-to?
There are some fundamentals and some foundations for me to feel well. And they're not big secrets, but I think first and foremost, sleep and making sure that you're getting quality sleep. So I am trying to be in bed by 9:30. If I am in bed by 9:30, I'm usually asleep by 10. So sleep, drinking a lot of water. When I drink water, I feel a difference in my skin and my brain clarity, but drinking really big amounts of water throughout the day. And then finally, movement. I also talk about this on social. It doesn't need to be perfect. It just needs to be done. I am through and through a studio girly. I love to go work out in the studio, Pilates, yoga, boxing, you name it. I love it. I am just not in that season. Our kids are around the same age, and I just don't have time. So I work out in my living room at home. It's good enough. It literally lets me shake the stress off of my body. And I'm doing this almost every day for 25 minutes. I just do light weights, and that usually helps me. So those are the three sort of fundamentals. If I'm having a week like I had last week, then I really peel back and I do something that's restorative for me. It's not a big fancy treat. It's not buying something, but you know, to be really honest, it's simple as getting a manicure or going for a walk with my girlfriend, or there's like this really like plain basic massage place that I go to that does a really great deep tissue massage. And I know 55 minutes there is going to be so good for my body. So it's taking the time to make a little treat. And usually that means not doing something else. So then I skip. I don't do the swim lesson in the morning. My husband does that and I can go and do this. But it's better for me if I take care of myself, then I show up so much better for my family if I feel whole, which is hard. It's hard to do.
Totally. And also when it comes to the scheduling, like you said, peeling back a little bit, being reasonable and kind of realistic. I feel like that's something that's come up a lot, just like with the kids, taking a look at the schedule, like what can we take off? You know, I don't like canceling plans or anything, but if there's swim lesson, birthday party, something that can be taken off, I think we should all take the time to maybe think about just being more strategic around that.
Right. One thing that we've really worked hard to do is to not overschedule our kids. And I think there's definitely this desire, and especially with the visibility that we have now of what everyone's doing. This person's in soccer. This person is in this camp. This person is doing these activities. And so there's sometimes this desire to feel like, should I also do those activities for my kids? My kids are really good just playing at home with each other. And we do like one little adventure during the day and then we're home. And that way we're not overextended. But I've had to learn that the hard way. I've overscheduled us over the weekends. And then it's like, wow, I'm exhausted by the time I'm moving into Monday. So we don't say yes to a lot of invitations. And that's just a decision that we've taken as a family.
Yeah, absolutely. So on the note of motivation too, I feel like confidence can kind of go hand in hand with that. And I know you talk a lot about this when it comes to the big meeting, the big presentation, showing up for a content shoot with a brand. How are you sort of preparing? How are you getting your confidence up? How are you keeping up, right? To perform, I feel like we need our confidence at that particular level. So I'm curious what that looks like for you.
So I am constantly working on my mindset and how I think and how I show up all the time, way before even the big moment happens. So between every big moment, there's all these little moments. And so I feel like I'm always trying to speak positively to myself and constantly learn and understand what's going on in the industry and business. And so basically what I'm saying is you don't have to get ready if you stay ready. And so I think also through my career, I've also really realized here's how to prepare for a presentation. Here's how to deliver a strong presentation. Here's how to prepare for a board meeting. Here's the data that you should walk in with. Here's how you should answer a question that you don't know in a very eloquent and articulate way. And so I've gathered and gained all these experiences, and some of them I've learned the hard way, and that's what I share now. And I hope that it helps accelerate someone else's learning, but that's the type of content that I put out, is all of those little moments, because I do think the big moments matter, but you can't just get ready on the brink of that big moment. You have to constantly be working on yourself so that when you get there, you shine and you do great. And I think that that's also what really resonates with people, because we don't really talk about those in-between moments. People just share their wins after the big moment. And it's like, well, no, how did that happen? It wasn't just like a great 60-minute meeting. It was actually 6 months of really like hard grind and unseen work.
Yeah, absolutely. On that note, it brings me to like mental health and how are you keeping like your mental health and your mind in sort of tip-top shape, right? I mean, overwhelm is a word that, God, I just feel it, right? Like we feel it, it comes and goes. What does that kind of look like?
Yeah. First and foremost, Emily, I have been very aware of the type of people that I keep in my circle and around me. And I think that that actually has such a big part of our mental health and well-being is who we surround ourselves with. So that's my just first and foremost, who's a company that you keep? Who are the friends around you? The maybe the mentors that you have in your circle, who do you follow on the internet? Do they trigger you? So I have gone over the last few months, I've been really conscious of the accounts that I'm following, the rooms that I enter, how I balance positive content and people who share my same values and make me feel really good. And then maybe also relationships or rooms that I feel like they're not as good for me and they don't make me feel good. And I think that that's been one of the biggest things, that biggest shifts in my mental health, is just being really conscious of what's around me, what am I listening to, and who I'm spending time with. Now, disclosure, of course, there's going to be family members or like people that you just can't create distance from, but I think it's really just protecting your energy and making sure you spend limited amount of time, or telling yourself this person is this way. Let's not let it trigger me. So that's one thing that I've really been working on. I think that it's so important to continuously learn and read. I tell my daughter this because she's starting to read now, and books are so important. They really just open our minds up to new worlds. And I love reading. And I also think listening to podcasts like this one really exposes you to how really amazing people think and move and their perspective through life. And that has always helped me. So I'll be doing my morning workout that we just talked about, and I'll be listening to a podcast, and I'll get this like amazing little nugget, and I'll just write it down. Or I'll take a note on my phone, and my notes app is just filled with like these little one-liners that only make sense to me. Yes. But that fills me up. And that's just like new perspective that enters your brainwave. So I think the combination of those two things has really helped my mindset, especially through these hard and challenging moments.
Yeah, absolutely. You took the word out of my mouth. It's like energy. And I feel like we don't think about it enough, but what's the quote that they say, right? It's like, you're the product of the five people, you know, whether you're texting or that are in your circle, you're the product of that and your environment. So it's so true.
Absolutely. You're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So choose wisely.
There you go. You hit the nail on the head. Janelle, this has been an amazing conversation. As a last couple questions for you, what is it that lights a fire in you? What is it that keeps you moving?
Learning and helping people. I think that we never stop learning. I love reading, listening, observing people doing great things in the world. So, and then I believe that my impact and my superpower is in telling stories and sharing, here are the experiences that I've collected through the years, either in career or in my life journey, living in different countries. And now as a mom in New York, here's what's worked for me, and putting that out in the world. And it makes me so happy. And it is a different type of fulfillment when someone DMs me and says, I just got this job that's going to change my life, and I used your presentation tips and I killed it. And I'm like, one, thank you for circling back and telling me. And two, wow, I'm so proud of you. And then three, like that makes me feel really great, you know, that to play such a small role in someone's life that way, that really lights me up.
Yeah, I love that. And I mean, truly a reason for the existence of this show and podcasting. I think this is where we're just learning and growing and evolving from each other. I think this mm-hmm. is like where the magic happens. And that's exactly what you're doing. So keep it going. And you're amazing. Thank you so much for joining us today. Is there anything coming up for you? Anything on the horizon that you want to share with us today?
Yes, I am working on something. One of the questions that I get often is, can you be my mentor? Can I have a coffee with you? And I am just one person. I'm not able to meet with everyone. I wish I could, but this is a way that I can share my advice in a more tailored and comprehensive way at scale. So more to come. And yeah, you can find me on Instagram and LinkedIn under Janelle Tavis.
All right. Amazing. Well, we're going to be looking out for that. Thank you again so much for this conversation. You're the best. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Emily. This was so great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode. If there is someone you think this conversation would resonate with, please share it with a friend. Tag us on Instagram at The Big Move Podcast and at mroberts.m. Subscribe, follow, and leave a review and connect with us. We love to hear from you, and we want to chat soon.